You want a nut shot? You got a nut shot? You all get nut shots in this NBA playoffs. Thanks for joining us for the 2023 NBA playoffs where everybody gets a free nut shot.
Bro. What the hell? I love it, man.
You see Jason Tatum get hit by PJ Tucker?
When you wrote me that, I was like, no way he got a nut shot. And, bro, you just got that nut shot going down.
Speaking of nut shots, bro, Mr. Nut Shot, Dylan Brooks, he gave the king.
You're going to go straight to the sensitive side, aren't you?
Do you realize
that like every Oklahoma City Thunder fan is either screaming like, what the fuck are you talking about right now? Or people are going to be like, I'm embracing it. I mean, there's going to be no middle road right here.
Well, I mean, Perk. There we go. I said it, guys. Perk. Perk was an instigator. Perk was an agitator. Perk was an enforcer. Perk was the type of guy who said, you're not going to fuck with my guys. And I'm not saying we need a Perk right now. But if you have a free Dylan Brooks, what do you think, dude?
Well, at first when I found out the news broke, I was like, who the fuck did he hit? Like, seriously, like, I mean, you got to hit somebody pretty. Yeah, you got to hit somebody pretty hard in order for them to come back at you and say, we'll never pick you back up again. But you said something to me was interesting. And I like to highlight that. You said what? Remember? They're looking to blame somebody in Memphis.
Yeah, it's Jaw's fault, man. This is Jaw and the whole organization for giving it up to him for so long.
Yeah, like I keep going back to this over and over in my brain. Like, in order for the Memphis Grizzlies to get better in this situation right now, they already know how to draft people, right? Obviously, they've made that clear. They're already up that next man up mentality. But the Grizzlies obviously saw something in Dylan Brooks that they didn't want to him back in. My question is, can we in Oklahoma City Thunder, with the locker room that we have, rehabilitate his image?
Well, okay, it's just his image because he's a lockdown defender and he's a good offensive player who, a lot like Dort, gets a little bit in trouble for shooting too much within his own organization. But like the Grizzlies, there's times where Ja Morant was out and they looked like a better team. And a lot of that was because of Dylan Brooks. And not just because of him, Desmond Bane, JV, like there's quite a few good players on that squad. Like you said, they draft well and stuff. But if they're not interested in re-signing Dylan Brooks and we have some cap space, we're immediately better than the Grizzlies if we add Dylan Brooks.
Whew.
Like, we're immediately better than a lot of teams because he's...
Well, my question is, if we added Dylan Brooks, is there another team in the NBA that will be able to play us on defense or match our defensive mind?
No. And look, here's the thing. We don't need...
So is the mentality that he brings... Let's just say that he brings I call it that tiger mentality that will attack you for no reason, right? He brings that mentality. Is that going to fuck up the locker room or is that going to actually enhance what we have in the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Like, there's a mentality that maybe, you know, he is an instigator within the own locker room. Because, let's face it, some of the stuff he said backfired. He talks a lot
now,
of shit.
Now, is he an instigator because he's calling Ja and all these other guys out for being lazy? Or is he, like what Jimmy Butler is? You know, what he did in with the Timberwolves in Minnesota that year? Like, he called everybody else for being, like, lazy and motherfuckers and stuff like that. Like, is it the same situation there where he has a high standard and these guys aren't living up to it? And he's like, fuck you guys. The Oklahoma City Thunder have that high standard he's looking for?
Well, for me, all I can go is it's very limited information, but he's a winning basketball player who lays it all out on the court every single game. And he makes winning plays at the winning time of games. But I mean, is he going to push someone like Ja who's in a bad spot and say like, you're in a bad spot? Like, I heard Steven Adams had, like, you know, pulled Ja aside and said, like, you got to, you know, check yourself. They had a team meeting, and Ja wasn't, like, none of this was processing. So what's Dylan supposed to do? Just nothing? Like, if he's, like, getting into it with Ja because Ja's making the wrong choices, and then the Memphis Grizzlies are like, oh, you're getting into it with Ja. We want you gone. Like,
or we think that you're worth this money because of the way that you create issues inside the locker room, and he's like, fuck off, man. I'm worth at least Dort money. And they're like, we're not willing to give you Dort money.
If they can't give him Dort money, then we will give him Dort money.
Well, and that's what it comes back to, is that even if we go out and get him, we still have, like, we give him Dort money, like $18-20 million a year, right? we still have $10 million to play with. You know, but my biggest issue with that is that if we sign him, are we going to be fucking around with being able to sign other players in the future? We've got obviously Josh Giddey next year looking for an extension. We've got these other guys that are going to be looking for extensions. So
no, obviously we help him rehab his image and then we trade him. Like, we get him into a spot where
what's he worth if we rehab his image and we have him on a 4-year, $80 million contract? And we're able to turn around and, you know, to a contender saying, in the East, of course, what are you willing to give us? Is it a first round picks? Is it multiple first round picks? Like, what is his value and why would it be worth it for us?
On a team-friendly deal for a team that is entering the playoffs and they're trying to make a push, yeah, bro, it's a first and a second rounder. And you're going to get a player back that you can, you know, either play immediately like Sarge or turn into a project and work out for the long term. But look, I mean, obviously this is a pipe dream and we're sitting here saying...
No, but this is... I'm asking you is because when you brought it up today, like, I was legitimately, like, curious. Like this is not our style to go be like, oh, yeah, let's go embrace...
Would you rather trade a player of Jeff Green's caliber to the Celtics to get, you know, Perk? Or would you rather just pick up Dylan Brooks for free agency? Like, Jeff Green...
Well, I look at... There's a certain line of guys that I look at that in the NBA, right? I look at, like, Dylan Brooks and Draymond Green on the same level mm-hmm. as that, you know, intense Tiger guys. There's a couple other guys I would put on that level, but not many guys, right? But I see that, and I look at back in the past in the NBA, in the 90s and the 80s, that mentality was everywhere. You know, like, everybody had that. Nobody got dunked on. Nobody got this. Nobody got that. So has the NBA's mindset changed so much that a guy like Dylan Brooks is less valuable because of his mindset and it's more like the 80s and 90s than people want to, you know, really admit to? Like, to me, like, I see the value in a Dylan Brooks. I see the value in a Draymond Green. I see the value in a Dennis Rodman. Like, you need these guys in mm-hmm. order to be able to have a successful run at it. You know, Bill Laimbeer mm-hmm. for Pistons. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many guys that are out there that I go back to and I say, yes, 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 we need these guys. But I look at Dylan Brooks and I'm like, where would he fit in our lineup? How would we be able to handle him? Would we be able to trade for him? Trade him once we prove to everybody that he's not an issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what would that be? Would it be a first rounder, a young player, and a second rounder? And is that worth $20 million to this organization?
Well, there are no guarantees. Like, we look at someone like the Kings and we're like, they're probably going to get better next year, but they may not. They may take a step back. They may not be able to retain all the players they need to.
Do you think the Kings are going to go after him?
Probably. Like, think about, like, remember how Ron Artest...
Is us going after him preventing him from going to another team in the West?
I mean, it could be
so,
for sure.
So it would be
way,
worth it for us if we went out and got him to prevent him from the West, because if we were to trade him, we would send him to the East for another 3 years.
I mean, it's not a singular pursuit. Like, if he's not going to help your team, but also if he, you know, if he's going to help somebody out, that's a, you know, definitely worth that. But remember, like, Kobe and the Rockets, like, you know, Lakers and Rockets went like 7 games, and Ron Artest was a monster in that series.
Yeah.
An absolute monster. And what did they do?
Before Meta World Peace.
Right. They went and they got him. They added him yeah. to the Lakers squad because they were like, hey, you know, we need people who
that's
will
true,
go
dude.
To battle.
That's
and
true.
I'm looking at him like Dylan Brooks. You add him to a contender, but
put some balls on our hair, our hair on our balls,
balls on our hair, bro.
There we go. Like, seriously, think about it though. Like we already have Dort that has this mentality, right? That he's gonna shut people down. But to have somebody that's gonna do that to the power forwards and the small forwards is big. You
and
know?
Dylan Brooks is Canadian, bro. Like, he's gonna fit in. He knows Dort, he knows Shea, like, they go way back. So.
I look at the way that he talked shit on LeBron James, bro, mm-hmm. right? And he poked the bear, right?
Damn,
now, weird. 90% of the people say that was fucking stupid. Like, I said it was stupid, right? But what happens if he was right? Then what? We're talking about a genius right now? We're talking about him getting an extension right now from Memphis? You know, and to me, I'm looking at it and I'm saying immediately, like, Memphis thinks that they're going to be better off mentally without him. But they have no idea what they're going to lose. They just don't. They really don't. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, if I'm looking at it and I'm personally, I'm a GM, and I'm saying, what do I need to do for us to get better and to ensure that nobody else gets better? Because those are the things that you have to think of as a GM. How do I get better? How do I get these guys to get listen, I watch these guys go to the foul line every single time this year, okay? Every single time they made sure that they looked like they were getting fouled, right? But the problem is that the mental toughness, I felt like we were lacking multiple times. And I think that key about when that happens, the mental lack that happens and that we're not able to see what's going on is this lack of physicality. Bringing Bane in even for a year would increase
that. Well, not Bane, but...
Well, yeah. I mean Bane. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks.
But like, yeah, I'm with you, though.
He would immediately add that. He would be like taking a Viagra just before shit went down. You know, like guaranteed a hard-on.
Well, but I love the way the Grizzlies have really good role players. Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks are the two prime examples. Like, to me, I was jealous before we started building this recent squad of the way that they were able to build it out with really good role players and high quality star level talent. But
yeah,
let's talk about like a little bit of Shea, right? Shea gets what, fifth in the MVP voting. I guess we should have made that the whole point of this, but
I'm all for that.
Like, and he deserves it. Right. And I appreciate what Shea did. When you look at the players that coming into the last couple of seasons were for sure, like in the NBA minds, better players than Shea. We're talking about Trae Young, talking about Ja Morant, talking about Zion Williamson. We're talking about Luka Doncic. Like these guys were like, everybody just thought they were better than Shea and they would have better careers. And Shea has already passed all those young guards. And
yeah, it's 1 year, but yes, you're right. At this point, people are looking at Shea as the better young guard than Trae Young and Luka right now, which is astonishing to me.
Yeah, I mean, you're right that it's 1 year, but it's a significant year because the way players are trending, that's it. He's still trending up. The other guys are trending a little bit stagnant or on the way down. And because of that, Shea looks like he is going to be that generational guard. And it's still early, but you sent out a little thing by Brandon Rubar on Twitter that said, what? We're talking about
2009,
mm-hmm.
2021.
Top five MVP voting. We got it, what? Eight of the last 12 years or something?
Well, no.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Since 2009, man.
Yep.
We got 2009 where KD or Russ didn't get into that top five. And then we had 2021 and 2022 are the only years that we didn't have at least one player in the top five in MVP voting, guys. That's what's crazy. Like, we've gone this entire time without it. I mean, there's organizations that go 20 years without a player breaking the top five in MVP voting. But in the last, 14 years now, 13 years, we've had we've had 10 of the last 13 years, 11 of the last 14 years, we've had somebody in the top five MVP voting, man. It's crazy, bro.
Yeah. And Joseph, I'm with you about him not being able to shoot the ball. And Dylan Brooks having
Dylan
an issue
Brooks,
scoring. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
There's an issue with Dylan Brooks' ability to score, but I don't think that's like...
What's his strength? Dylan Brooks' offensive strength?
I mean, you know,
it's attacking.
I know.
Attacking.
One of the things I like about him is his late shot clock creation. If the ball hits his hands in a hot potato situation, like that's when
you
really want
his
ability to create.
He attacks. He cuts back door. He does all these things that the Oklahoma City Thunder are doing every single time down the floor. You know, he's like, in my opinion, the way that I look at Dylan Brooks, and it's, you know, he's more intense, obviously, but the way that Wiggins is always cutting back door and the double back doors. I love it. He's mm-hmm. covering the back door, right? Mm-hmm. And those are the things that I look at and I highlight, you know, about Dylan Brooks' game that I would love to have. Yes, you're right. The shooting is not on par to what we would want. But, I mean, I don't see that as necessarily a negative, especially if his strength is getting downhill and cutting back door and creating those extra opportunities for shots.
And he's still young enough. Chip Engelin could have a really positive impact on him.
I mean, again, this would have to be Dylan Brooks saying, I want to go to a place that I'm going to be appreciated. I want to play. You know, I don't care if I start. I want to play. You know, and you know what I'm saying? Like, that's that. But, like, if he's going to go and say, I want to go play for a contender right away, I mean, there's no way he's going to pick the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I mean, The thing about it, though, is I think if you add a player like Dylan Brooks and you add another year of maturity, add Chet, bring Kenny back, and stay overall healthy, we have a chance to actually make it to the conference finals.
Next year. Dylan Brooks. Yes. I would be willing to put money on that, the fact that we would be able to make the Western Conference if we had Dylan Brooks.
So if you can, like, if you know from players who have known Dylan since he was young and know him now, and they're like, Dylan's not a locker room issue. Unless you have someone who is a locker room issue, then he might rub that person the wrong way.
Let's go to the fact. Let's go to the place where we can all figure it out. Because doesn't him and Shea play on the same team and
right. Team Canada, right?
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, if we could go there and Shea's like, Sam, we've got to get Dylan Brooks. Yeah. Sam, we've got to get Dylan Brooks. If it's Shea saying it, then oh yeah, bro.
Yo, Sonny, I get what you're saying. Why do we need Brooks when we have Dort? But here's the thing, right? Like, you can't have too many lockdown wing defenders in this league. You just can't. Because if you find yourself in the deep in a playoff series against a team like the Warriors, you got to be able to defend all five shooters on the court. And I get it. Like, it seems like we have enough wing defenders, but we don't. So that's why I say you can't have too many. Would this create all sorts of, like, who's going to start, what's going to happen, how's this going to work? Yeah. Is this a stupid idea? Probably. Okay, but it reminds me a lot of when we brought Kendrick Perkins in. We needed an enforcer. We needed somebody who would step up and say, no, you're not going to pick on our guys. And, yeah, we have Dort, but Brooks is more of an actual enforcer. Dort, he defends at a high level, but he's not necessarily going to get in somebody's face and say that's enough, right? Mm-hmm. Dylan Brooks will. Yes. I mean, I don't know if that's what Sam Presti wants, but I do believe that if you added Dylan Brooks to this team, we would have gotten out of the next game against the Timberwolves. I really think we would have won that game absolutely. With Dylan. And then if you get into the playoff series, you never know what can happen. We saw the Heat, beat the Bucks. You never know who gets injured, how those things go down. There's always opportunities. And bro, now we're watching the NBA playoffs, and every team is losing home court advantage, it seems like.
Yeah, and Ramel, I want to say I agree with you on having Dort and Brooks is better. I also want to say is the only reason I bring up the attitude situation, and we, Mark and I both have said we believe that this is being blown out by the media like you. The only reason we say it is because this is the same things that anybody's going to be asking about as GMs, as everything else like that. And when we're talking about Dylan Brooks, the fact that he's had so many technical fouls in the last couple of years, you have to bring that up. Is this the idea of being able to get to Dylan Brooks and be able to say, this has got to stop. If you can stop this stuff, then you can be part of this team. Because you see how Coach D handles guys that get technical fouls. I mean, Dario got one. Kenny Hustle's gotten a few. He doesn't handle it well. You know, he makes those guys sit down because he looks at it as a loss of possession or a loss of point. And he takes that stuff seriously. So to me, like, that's what I would have to say is, like, it's not about his locker room or mentality or anything else like that. To me, it's about how can he help this team right away. And I see too many things for us not to at least sit here and say he is at least the premier free agent on the market. And if he wants to come to Oklahoma City, then we just have to light the way. You know, like, we don't have to sit here and agree with it any other situation, because if it doesn't work out, a team in the East will take him in a heartbeat. The goal is to keep him away from another team in the West. And that's the goal, because we don't want to have to be playing against him in the future.
I think there's a lot of, consensus amongst people that, like, we don't need to go for it yet. You know, why go for it? Well, the nice thing about a player like Brooks is if you can verify through, Team Canada teammates who say, like, he isn't an issue, right? In the locker room.
Dude, he's not an issue.
If you can verify that, and you know he won't mess up our team camaraderie, right? If you can verify that, then you think adding him means that we're going for it without putting our balls on the line. Like, we can increase the team quality without giving up our long-term flexibility with a player like this.
It's increasing the thickness, bro.
Thickness, bro. Girth.
That's it, man.
You know, and you need that. You need that girth. You need that ability to deliver at the end of the shot clock, bro.
24 seconds is not a long time. But I look at it like, I keep saying this over and over again. Like, how can we address this team in getting better? And I look at the power forward positions. I look at the center positions, and I'm like, I don't see much outside of a trade. So how do we add to this team for free? How do we get better for free? Well, we need somebody that can guard the power forward and small forward consistently, right? And be that mentality, that Kenny Hustle, that Dort mentality. Because if you have three of those guys, right, that are rotating, it saves everybody. Think about this, guys. If we get an opportunity to get another guard like Brooks out there, it creates what? Shea more opportunity to rest. It creates Dort more opportunity to rest. It creates Kenny Hustle more opportunity to rest. These guys we need in a playoff. And if it gives these guys an extra, 5 or 6 minutes a game for a rest, and they're sharing that 5 or 6 minutes, but by all means, like, get it done. Like, this team, in my opinion, is that close to being in the second round.
I know.
To being in the Western Conference. And getting Chet back is going to put us that close. But going out and getting a player like of Dylan Brooks' caliber that's going to bring that defensive mindset, that's going to bring that tiger in that locker room,
yeah,
man, you got to at least think about it. And I know Sam Presti's thinking about it. There's no way he's defend, not.
He adds another whole dimension to your defense. And Salty, I get what you're saying, man. But what we're talking about right
salty
now
drunk.
Is the difference between
I wanna
perception
address salty drunk.
And reality. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Salty Drunk. Like, you're right. It's a crazy idea. And when Mark and I were getting on here, we were like, this is crazy that we're thinking about this. But here's the reality is that I don't think Dylan Brooks is a problem in the locker room.
I don't either.
I think the media has pinned him against Ja'a. I think that we saw what happened with Russ and KD. And you see when the contention is built like that. And unfortunately for Dylan Brooks is he's not a max player. So who's going to get thrown under the bus? Ja'a or Dylan Brooks? Dylan Brooks, every time. And so for me, I look at the national media as fucking with him the whole time.
Dude, you're right. It 100% boils down to they have to pick somebody, and one is a max player and the other one isn't. Dude, I think that you hit it exactly on the head. And I understand this idea that maybe Dylan Brooks is an issue in the locker room, but until recently, I've never heard he was an issue in the locker room. I heard he talked too much shit.
How many people said that KD was an issue in the locker room? How many people said that Russ were, and especially in Oklahoma City?
But that's the thing. Like, I didn't hear this locker room issue until right after the playoffs. Then it was like, oh, it's a huge issue. But, like, he was known to be a really good locker room guy. He was known to be a really, like, good competitor. And then all of a sudden, there's this issue. But I'm like, no, this is not Dylan Brooks. And if we can verify that through, you know, talking with players who play with him in international competition, coaches. But, dude, he was in a bad spot. And everybody knew.
Dude.
Like, could you imagine
everybody
being in that
spot? We've all been there. We've all been working for somebody that really pisses us off and, like, is a horrible boss and doesn't think about others. Like, we've all been there. If Dylan Brooks was experiencing that at all, people acting out on him, like, listen, nobody handles it well. Nobody. And if you want to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, I can handle it well, but listen, if Dylan Brooks has been handling it well for 3 or 4 years, that's about the max. And you want to say anything else about Dylan Brooks, and I get it. He might have an attitude or a chip on his shoulder. But the reality is that look back in the history of the game. If he was in the 80s or 90s, would Dylan Brooks be standing out at all? Fuck no. He would be a normal player and a normal personality. The only reason it is like this is because the national media shit down his throat so hard.
So hard. Record level hard. But it's okay. We've seen it to other people too. And I get what you're saying, Alsambra, for sure. And I agree with you totally, because what you're saying is we need a 3-and-D player. We need multiple 3-and-D players. You can't really have too many 3-and-D players. You need depth in that. When you get to the playoffs, you need another one, because one is always going out. You know, we've got Wiggins, we've got Dort. These guys can pull it off. But Dylan Brooks has the ability to defend the other team's best player for 48 minutes and also hold his own on offense, like you're saying. So 100%, I'm with you. And Charles, what you're saying about character guys, I 100% agree with you that we need high character guys. But
every time,
I would question the assertion that Dylan Brooks just flat out isn't a high character guy. Like, the team that is dumping him is like a lover scorned. And if you're going to take the lover scorned's opinion about whether or not that X is a high character person, then you're pretty much just going to be talking about a piece of shit every single time. But if you say that lover scorned has a agenda And that person maybe isn't as bad in the locker rooms. Maybe Ja is like Gilbert Arenas, and he doesn't belong in the NBA. And Dylan Brooks is like, hey, I'd rather get out of there than watch this ship fucking sink.
And if we're looking at it, like the reality of the situation we're in, I mean, legitimately, is the Oklahoma City Thunder are, we're only saying this as a possibility in our minds, right? Is because there's very few players that we would consider to pick up in the offseason as free agents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very few players. And being that said, is that are you going to go out and spend $12 million a year on Dario? Or are you going to go spend $18 or $20 million on Dylan Brooks? Like, to me, like, the only reason this is even being brought up is because if we're looking at this team and we're looking at what the trajectory of this team is going, you need somebody that's an enforcer. And right. I've said it multiple times. Dort is a great enforcer. But he's not that enforcer that is... I mean, look at it. I mean, the San Antonio Spurs had it. The Dallas Mavericks had it when that year they won. They had, you know, we could go down the list of guys, of teams that have had an enforcer when they needed it. And I look at this team and I say, if you had that enforcer, nobody's going to be going hard up against Shea. Nobody's going to be fouling Shea hard. Nobody's going to be going up against J-Dub and try to hurt him.
Like, you got to understand about
Steven
enforcers.
Adams was that enforcer for us.
Everybody, you know, who's listening, understand this about enforcers. You're supposed to hate them when they're on the other team. You're supposed to
fucking
hate them.
I love it that
them.
You guys are getting upset that like we're talking about this, because to me, this is one of the reasons that we love to talk. We're supportive of the players, right? And we are looking at Dylan Brooks as being his name being tarnished.
Tarnished. And you know what?
Tarnished. And that to us is unacceptable.
Low. Right. It's not accurate. Look, he did say some crazy shit in the media, and it did piss off LeBron. And LeBron went out and did some really special historic things, okay? And if he comes in and he does that shit for us, then obviously it's not going to be helpful. But if he's like, look, this was a fucked up situation, this is where I want to be in Oklahoma City, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help this team be successful. Like, if that's a starting point for him,
this.
And everybody's saying, like, yeah, I've known him since he was a kid. He's a great guy. And, you know, whatever's going on in the Grizzlies locker room, we can verify that it is fucked up. Like, of course this guy has a bad reputation, but here's the question. Did he get a bad reputation for doing things that were, like, as bad as, you know, some of the people who have had him in the past, like Draymond Green? Or did he get a bad reputation for maybe talking too much? Because talking too much is a different thing than actually being like a guy who, I don't know, like Draymond's like shit, you know what I mean, where it's antics over and over and over again. Being a little bit of aggressive in the, you know, in the post game interviews, like, that's not the same thing.
I mean, punching people in the balls isn't something I like either, but I have to say though, is Grayson Allen figured out how to chill that shit out.
Yeah.
And he was one of the most aggressive people I've ever met. And for me, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, as age turns Dylan Brooks into somebody different, because it happens to all of us. I mean, we all are like, oh, I'll never change when I'm 24 or 25. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're 26, 27, 28, and you're like, holy shit, 4 years has gone by since I said that. And look at all the changes that happened in my life. You know, like, to me, I'm betting on Dylan Brooks's mentality and his life continuing to become a better person and a better human being. That's what I'm betting on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if that's off with a different team.
Right.
I don't care if that's with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I just bet that Dylan Brooks is a better human being than the Memphis Grizzlies are shitting on him for being.
Right.
And it pisses me off when organizations do this. And we've seen it happen with so many players before. And I'm just done with it, man.
Right. And every organization needs role players who are willing to be stars in their role. And every few organizations out there, I look at and I'm like, wow, that guy is really great at his job. And he does it at a super high level. And we'd be lucky to have a player like that. And I've been saying that for years about Dylan Brooks. And so I understand, like, a lot of this recent stuff is, you know, very, it's not good. But it's also why he's free. And I'm like, does his game speak to him being a free player? No, it doesn't. So this is about rehabbing his image. So if that's what it's about, and he is actually a high character guy, but it's like, it's being hidden because of all this fucked up shit going on in the Grizzlies locker room, and it doesn't really relate directly to him, but there's a lot of distractions going on. Look, this is not Dylan Brooks' season that to lose. It wasn't. This was Ja, and this was the fact that Adams was out, and this is the fact that they kept getting thinner. And then, yeah, they ran into a team that was pacing themselves for the playoffs, like the Lakers. And so were the Warriors. You wouldn't say that the Kings' season was trash because they didn't advance past the first round. And really getting to the Kings is why I think that we need to look at – we need to be opportunistic about improvement. We shouldn't sit there and say, like, we're going to be better because we're adding Chet, and that's all we need to do. Like, it doesn't mean we go out there and we – trade a bunch of picks. It doesn't mean
we go out there and spend $80 million to get better.
Right, or trade a bunch of our future stuff to reach that. But if you can be opportunistic and get an Isaiah Joe or get a player who can contribute to the team for free and has very low risk in the sense of, like, if it doesn't work out, they can trade him very quickly. Yes. Like, then you take those opportunities and you build your team that way. Honestly, I wish we could have added Kendrick Perkins for free, because I like to think back about what the team would have been like with Jeff Green and Perk.
You know what he said, right?
What?
If the Thunder had just waited for me, I probably would have gotten there. Because all they had to do is wait for him.
Dude, Shane Battier, Alsambra. Shane Battier is a perfect example. Like, he's damn a guy right, that for years I circled on every single team, and I was like, the perfect type of role player who's a star in his role, and if you can get him, he's going to help you. He's going to help you win games. You can't necessarily say, like, oh, his points or his assists or his rebounds, but it's all the stuff, including the charge taking, that if you can add a star in his role next to superstars, right, that's the way that you do this. And so is Dylan Brooks willing to be a star in his role? I've seen him do it for years. This last year was not really indicative of his career.
No.
But at the same time, I'm curious about it, and I think it'll say a lot about, you know, the teams that go for him. If I were the Lakers, I'd go get him.
Oh yeah,
I'd go get him. I'd be like, let's
but
team
you have
him
to
up.
Understand, a lot of these teams aren't going to have the cap space.
I know,
there's not. There's very few teams that are going to have the cap space that are going to want to have Dylan Brooks on their team, and that's why I have to circle it and say this is a possibility. And I again, why am I being positive when we can be negative on Dylan Brooks? Is because you remove him from the situation and you get a different player. You remove an unhappy player from a situation, you get a different player. You don't believe me? Ask Ron Artest. You know, ask. I mean, the list goes on, man. I mean, Charles Oakley and Charlie Ward, and I mean, I could go down the list of just Knicks players that ended up on the Knicks team that were unhappy. I mean, Latrell Sprewell choking out his coach. You know, like, there's so many players throughout the history of the game that hate their situation so bad they act out. They're not bad players, but they just don't want to be there at that exact time anymore.
Yeah,
just
and the Knicks adds pretty well for basically free. They go on. I don't remember what they what it costs, and if anything, but they get him
first round, like, not even nothing.
I don't then they go to the finals as an 8 seed shortly after. Like, yep. I get that it's like, well, you don't want to add a low character guy, but team. Like, Spree had just choked out his coach, and that wasn't indicative of who he was. And by the way, that coach was also the same coach who was the first coach for the Thunder whenever they arrived, PJ Carlissimo, I believe. So, like, my point here is that we can get better without giving up future assets, and it might be a risk. Like, I get what you're saying, Salty, for sure. You're 100% right. But sometimes
it's
you have to take
roll,
risks.
Man.
And the it's assumption that we're automatically going to get better and all we have to do is give it time, like, that's fair 100%. Like, and that's how Presti's been talking. But I also know if Presti secretly thinks this is a year that we can get really into a deep playoff run, he's going to want to bolster that lineup. He's not going to want to leave him out there hanging like he did this year. So I do think he's going to be intentional.
He's not – okay. Understanding Sam Presti, right? He doesn't force stuff, right? He lets for the phone call come to him sometimes, right? Lets the opportunity come to him, you know? And if you're Dylan Brooks's agent, you're looking at the teams and you're saying, listen, you want to play in the playoffs next year? Yeah, okay. You got two teams to choose from then. Who do you want me to call? And that's it, man.
That's it,
you
man.
Know? And to me, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, is that team going to be Oklahoma City? Because if I'm Dylan Brooks, I want to stick it to the man as much as I possibly can, and that being Memphis, because you guys trashed me. You made me look horrible. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that you guys understand that. What better team to do that with than the youngest team in NBA history, the Oklahoma City Thunder?
And, bro, think about this too. Like, Mark Jackson, okay? He got traded away from the New York Knicks. And when he had a chance to go back to the East, he wanted to go to the Pacers. Because he knew he could beat the fucking Knicks, and they did. he led that team along with Reggie Miller to beat the Knicks. And I think it's an important understanding of what it really takes. Like, sometimes you need talent, sometimes you need enforcers, sometimes you need experience. But guess what? Dylan Brooks has all three of those things. It's not like he's a one-dimensional player. The question is, can he fit to what we need? And if he does, how much better are we when Kenny hustles out there with Dylan Brooks, with Lou Dort, with Shea, and they go like, let's pick up full court?
Like, dude, nobody can fuck with us.
Dude, that's it's crazy.
It gets really intense. And you have Chet blocking anybody that comes down the lane or inside the free throw line.
Just hang back and guard the basket.
Bro, this is what the elite teams find themselves in. These predicaments. These predicaments that Sam Presti is probably sitting here and saying, like, do I need Dylan Brooks? Not necessarily. Will Dylan Brooks make us a better team immediately? Yes. Will be able to put on some defensive schemes that nobody else has ever seen before? Yes, but I need a defensive-minded coach. Oh, wait. I got that. I got Coach D already, one of the best coaches in the league. So for me, I'm looking at this and saying, do these stars align? It's an opportunity. He's an optimistic GM. An opportunity comes his way. He breaks it down. He might not ever say that he's breaking down this Dylan Brooks idea, but you know deep down inside that he's thinking, three Canadians on one team. I love it.
Canadian bacon, baby. So the thing that I want to just say, and look, I get it. I can't prove this, but I think a lot of recency bias has made everybody believe that Dylan Brooks is something that he's not. And I've been watching his game for years, like, very intently, because I really think he's the type of player that you need to be successful for deep playoff runs. Like, you got to have that star talent, but you also have to have players like Dylan Brooks. And so I am taking in all the things that have happened with him, but I'm also taking it into account for, like, his overall career. And I'm saying, does that define him? And was anything in there that he supposedly did that was so bad, really bad enough to be like, no, he shouldn't be on your team? And I'm looking at each individual item on its own merit. And I just think that a lot of people have an idea about Dylan Brooks that isn't accurate. And I think that we need to kind of give him some space. And we need to understand that, like, wherever he goes, the team is going to be better off. No matter which team he goes to, there's not a single team in the NBA he could go to that wouldn't be better off for having him. And if we can add him, then I'm going to be ecstatic.
For free.
And if we don't, that's fine. But I think it's important for us to find another Kenny Hustle, another guy who can – Isaiah Joe, another guy who can bring it. Now, we probably don't know these guys' names, or at least not at the top of our head. But we need somebody else who can bring these types of characteristics. So I don't think that Sam Presti is just sitting here waiting for the next team to, like, define themselves before he goes and makes a move. There are big moves that he will wait to do that for. But the small moves, those are the ones that you can improve around the edges. And, like, you can say Isaiah Joe was just a small addition, but everybody who knows it was a massive addition. And we're looking for somebody else who can help us.
And why would we add somebody like Dylan Brooks at this part of the development of these guys? Is because both Mark and I believe that it's an automatic, in our opinions, bringing us up to that Western Conference finals game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If this team clicks and everybody's in shape and everybody's injury free, who knows what that means after that. But with Dylan Brooks on this team, it automatically puts us into the category of 60 wins. And how many 60 win teams were in the West last year? Zero.
Yeah. I mean, you add Chet, you add Kenny back, you add this team, and you're like, well, we're really tough out. And I'm watching these teams play in the playoffs, bro. Some really good games so far. Like, really, really good games in the second round. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, if we're going to go 12 rounds in a heavyweight title fight, like, we were not ready for it, bro. We were not ready for it. We went two rounds, and we were like, oh, man. Like, limping out of the ring. Like, we're like, okay, next time we'll know what it takes. We need battle-tested veterans who can help us. I would love a Shane Battier. I saw Marcus Camby in the arena, bro, for the Knicks, yeah. MSG. Yeah. I saw John Starks there.
He's another guy that got a lot of bad rep, Marcus Camby.
Right.
I'm like, you know, people talked all the shit on Marcus Camby, dude. And then all of a sudden he gets to wear the Knicks, and he shines. And everybody's like, oh, he's not a bad dude.
See, you and I feel very strongly that it's not like a single player that we need, but it's a type of player that we need. And
it's a mentality, bro.
Right. And we've seen it going back to the 80s and the 90s, and it goes back all the way, but we're not old enough to remember the oldest parts of it, right? But, like, there's the enforcer, there's the team player, there's the guy who is stars in their role. Tony Allen was one of those guys. He played for the Celtics and then went on to play for the Grizzlies.
Yep.
Like, he got his number retired, and he wasn't ever a star because he was a star in his role. And I'm like, man, I love that shit, dude. Like, dude, and reminds me when I used to snort caffeine. And I'd go, whoop, you know what I mean? Like, give me
the worst thing for Dylan Brooks, or for us, would be Dylan Brooks picking a team like Denver, picking a team, you know, that is still young enough to be able to mature with Dylan Brooks. If protecting our future could be signing Dylan Brooks to a team-friendly contract, holding on for a year, and shipping him to the East. That's it. You know, like, I want to say there'll be more to it, but sometimes it's just, you know, it is what it is. But I do think that we can rehabilitate his mentality and his idea of what a good player should be doing and stuff. So I think this is something that I know people are going to get all upset about. You know, some people are going to be like, fuck you guys, this is crazy you guys are talking about this. But I want people to recognize, and I'm going to reiterate this, is we've seen it happen with Russ, and we've seen it happen with KD in Oklahoma City, okay? The media turns on them, and everything is their problem, all right? The same thing happened with Dylan Brooks. And so if we just take a step back and recognize that, and we take and look at Dylan Brooks in a different light, I promise you guys, you will not be sorry. Go and look at him play for his national team. Go watch him play everywhere he's played, guys. I promise you guys, you're going to see a different mentality than what's happened here in Memphis.
Yeah, and Salty, yeah, we need another big. We need another wing. We need another. There's a lot of things we need, right? But in the end, one of the most important things is players who can defend, who have versatility defensively. Can they guard a five, you know, if they have to switch on to that? You know, can they guard a point guard? And if they, do they have 1-5 switchability? That's more important because, like Dave always likes to say, it's not always about how tall you are. Sometimes it's about the girth. And so, like, you know, big.
Not the length, right? The girth.
It can come in different ways, right? So big. So that's what I'm looking at. Like, I do look at Dylan Brooks' ability to help out in that situation. But, Frank, we appreciate you. I know not everybody loves this content, this subject matter.
And I appreciate you, Salty Drunk, for, like, keeping it real, man.
Yeah, man.
Real.
Somebody needs to call us out on our bullshit. Because obviously we're just pulling shit out of our ass, man. We're calling it gold, but everybody knows it's
just diarrhea. No, it's not even gold. We're not even claiming this is the best idea. We just want everybody to understand the positivity that comes with Dylan Brooks and recognizing he's a different player than people have been saying he is. And that we're supportive of the young man. And he's a young man getting shit down his throat right now. There's no reason for it. And I just hope that he can pull himself out of the gutter, find himself. We saw what happened with Ben Simmons in the situations, guys. It's not good for players. It takes them a long time to get out of it.
And you
don't
see it
want
start happening, and as basketball fans, not Thunder fans, as basketball fans, as fans of people, we get really concerned because it's not good for mental health. It's people can go into – they have to, like, recreate their entire identity on the court,
right?
because of this type of stuff. And so either way – like, we want Dylan Brooks, the best for Dylan Brooks. We want the best for his family. We want him as a Canadian basketball player that we have other stars who are with him in that ride. We don't want to see bad things for him. As a Grizzlies player, we're okay with bad things happening, but we actually respect the hell out of Dylan Brooks.
We do.
He's not the problem. They have other locker room problems. So, I mean, that's it, man.
Yeah, man, I agree. Patrick Beverly, Mwani, listen, if Patrick Beverly was 24, 25, I'd be like, yes.
But he's
Patrick
the type,
Beverly,
right? He's the type.
Yeah, he's that type. Right? Like, he's that type. Every time we played against him with Russ, it always pissed me off. You're like, I fucking hate that guy.
You're supposed to hate these types
of
guys.
I know. Like, I cannot stand playing against
him. And then you get him on your team, and you love him.
It's like, that's our boy, right? That's our guy. Like, you know he's going out there going to call it that tiger mentality, guys, right? They're your best friend, but the second the lights go on that court, it's like, I'm going to fuck some people up. And sometimes you need that, especially to get a long ways in the playoffs. So I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, and I you get it. What's up, Eclipse? El Sombra gets it for sure.
Appreciate you, El Sombra, man.
Like, you get what we're saying as far as win-win. Get to the second round, you know. Maybe this isn't it. Like, maybe it is April Fool's Day. You know, I don't know. But the truth is, we're at the point where we think that we can get better, a lot better, by adding a couple players, and Dylan Brooks kind of fits that mentality right here, like on the court. Like, he wants to be a starter. We have too many starters. There's all sorts of issues, but it's probably not him. We know that. We realize that. But we think there's somebody just, like him.
We're speaking his praises right now.
We love him.
You know?
Yeah, people are going to shit hell on him.
Dylan Brooks, everybody.
Everybody get a DB necklace. All right, we're going to see you guys next time. Thanks for joining us, everybody. You guys are the best. It's for real. Fun day, fun conversation, and we'll take it up a notch coming up Friday. We'll see you then.
All right, guys.